ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Report, political theater yesterday. What'd you think, folks? What did you think of that debate? Of course, we covered the first hour of it, the remaining 30 minutes. Interesting. Interesting indeed. But what'd we learn? You know, it's interesting. I watched the debate between Richard Nixon and JFK that was done in 1960. I believe it was September of 1960. And, what a difference. What a difference in presentation, in the question, the moderation of the debate. What a difference in respect. It was something to see. If you get a chance, it's on YouTube. It's the Richard Nixon versus JFK presidential debate from 1960. Folks, we're coming to you live from our studios in Northwest Pennsylvania, where we broadcast live weeknights 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern. You know that. Our website's HagmanReport.com, HagmanandHagman.com. Go ahead and like us on Facebook. That's the Hagman Report, and I've got a Facebook page myself. And follow us on Twitter, at Hagman Report, for the business and for the radio show, that is. And Hagman, at Hagman PI. That's my personal Twitter. I think we're going to get Lady, the studio dog, her own Facebook page. What do you think? Probably be good. Folks, we also simulcast Global Star Radio Network is our home base, and we simulcast on BTR and, of course, live on video at YouTube, our YouTube channel. Go ahead and subscribe to our YouTube feed, please, our YouTube channel. That helps us with visibility. And the more that subscribe, the funny thing is happening with YouTube. We posted this on HagmanReport.com. The YouTube Heroes program, have you seen that? Rather interesting. You know, it's all about censorship, ultimately. We're going to see more and more censorship come by different programmings. Michael Savage had an issue talking about Hillary Clinton's health. It's just a matter of time. I'm Doug Hagman at the helm, by the way. Joe is out. He'll be back later this week. Portions of nice broadcast brought to you by HelloFresh. HelloFresh. Folks, go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to HelloFresh. Have you seen HelloFresh? It's more than food. This is a great program. In fact, my family, we at the Hagman household, use this. This program, HelloFresh. At HelloFresh, they want to change the way people eat forever, and they believe that people deserve honest, natural, delicious, healthy food. And they celebrate the fresh ingredients and make magic in the kitchen. HelloFresh is a meal kit delivery service that makes cooking fun, easy, and convenient. And each week they create new delicious recipes with step-by-step instructions designed to take about a half hour is all for everyone, from novices to seasoned home cooks in any situation. HelloFresh sources the freshest ingredients you can find. The quantities are measured exactly. It's a really great deal. That's HelloFresh. You visit their website, folks. Go to, in fact, if you're watching this via YouTube, you can see the delicious food items on the screen. Can't you? Oh, yes. Of course, HelloFresh. It's a website, HelloFresh.com. Our promo code is CFP Radio. That's CFP Radio. Promo code is CFP Radio. HelloFresh.com. Thanks for joining us tonight. We got a great show for you planned. Alan Riggs is going to join us here in a couple of minutes. He's the head of some company called Greenovative. He's got something that I want to I found this. Well, he actually brought this to my attention. JD did, and he did. This is an interesting device. We're just gonna spend a few minutes at the start of the show talking about this device. I'm pretty excited about it. I was just blown away by the GMAG product here. I'm going to wait until he comes on to talk about this. I'm not going to give away anything. And this morning I put up a column. In fact, it's right now you can comment on it at CanadaFreePress.com. Nobody cares about the birther issue. Did you notice how much time it was spent last night during the debate about the birther issue? Just that segmented time. And oh my goodness, I was flipping through the channels through the morning hours and watching the different people talking about this and focusing on the birther issue. And my column today talks about that. And I assert that no one cares about the birther issue. And I'm going to just reference this article here a little bit. You can comment on this article at CanadaFreePress.com. Feel free to do that. You can also read it in its entirety at HagmanReport.com. But no one cares about the birther issue. That's what everyone's telling me, including members of my own family. No one cares. You see, what I hear when people say that to me, what I hear is that no one cares about the Constitution, about our Constitution, or about the rule of law. And I think that that's where we're at today. And I would stipulate that even fewer understand what the birther issue is all about, because all the time I hear, oh, well, that's just, he was born in America, case closed, meaning Obama. Folks, eligibility requirements to hold the office of the President of the United States are defined by the Constitution. You know that. The natural born citizen clause, that requirement, was written into the United States Constitution. Why? Well, it protects our nation from foreign influence. That's the whole aspect of that, foreign influence. It was written to protect our nation from being hijacked from within. And what's everyone complaining about here over the last 8 years? Isn't this what the presidential election, the current presidential election, is all about? Moving from this globalist agenda? You know, the whole issue seems pretty important to me. Legal requirements. The legal requirements seem pretty important to me, considering that today we found ourselves in an epic battle between national and global. Now, with global, I'll say foreign interests. And again, this is precisely, in my view, what the what this election is all about, what it represents. And this birther issue is not just about where Obama was born. Of course not. Although that's what nearly everyone believes and thinks, and they rattle this out without even thinking. It's almost like, you know, boy, it seems like people have been programmed. You know, and I say again, it's much bigger than that. And I wrote in here that it's not about where a person is born, although that's what everyone with an opinion and a microphone or a keyboard wants you to believe. It's much bigger. It's about adhering to the Constitution and about allegiance to our nation and its citizens. It's about making sure that the person holding the most powerful office in the land has our best interests at heart. I say that again, you know, and hardly anyone cares about this issue because they don't understand it. They don't see the big picture. They've been deceived by the intellectually dishonest, I write, and also, or the intellectually deficient. That's my belief. The former, the intellectually dishonest, consists of those whose agenda is global in nature. That's the agenda of the globalists, is to fold America into a system of global governance to subjugate us. And the latter, of course, includes those who have fallen victim to the lies and deception, who just parrot the sound bites. And both have reduced this critically important issue to absolutely incredibly ridiculous, misleading sound bites that are eagerly embraced by a tired public. And aren't we tired, folks? Hour two, we're gonna be joined by Susan Daniels. She's a private investigator from Ohio. You're not going to want to miss hour two, and the reason I say that is because Susan Daniels, I was at an event where I spoke to her. Susan Daniels, she investigated Obama's identity, the Social Security issue. Remember that? She was the one. Susan Daniels was the one who blew open the Social Security issue. She's got a special place in history. And she's so humble. She's got a very special place in history. She really put a world of hurt on Obama and his cadre of leftists and communists. And then, of course, hour three, we're going to be joined by Stan Dale. But right now, let's bring on Alan Riggs. He is the head of something, a company called Greenovative. And he's got a product that... When I got it, I kind of laughed at, or before I got it, I was laughing. I said, nah, you know, come on. This can't be. I mean, I remember science class and I remember how things work, to some extent, but I thought, man, there is this GMAG power cell that he has. It produces electricity by just adding salt water to the unit. And again, this is a battery recharger, rechargeable battery. Device, and it works. And I said, you know, we got to have this. We have to have this guy, this gentleman on, and because what he's got is a really great product. And we tried it out, and I mean, we put it through the paces, and wow, what a great product. Alan, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am. Thank you for having me on.
Hey, well, thanks for joining me. I really wanted to get you on just for a few minutes, just to really tell people about yourself, about your company, and about the product. Let's just hit this pretty hard.
Okay, I'll do that. I'm retired from the Navy. I did a number of corporate jobs after I retired, and had an opportunity one day to start my own company. So I did, and I did some more program management, et cetera. And I started building things in my shop. The first thing I tried was a nuclear, biological, and chemical safe room back when there were those kinds of things. But I couldn't keep the fan running long enough. I needed a different power source. So I found a company that had a magnesium air fuel cell, and it's just being developed. And they were in Canada. And I went up and looked at it. And I came home and mortgaged my house and bought the rights to it. And then we looked at it and changed the cathode formulation. And another company was making the cathode, and they had a downturn in business. And I bought the rights to that and all of the equipment that makes it. And now it's mine. One of the things that I spun off that was a unit that charged batteries. We thought, hey, you know, this thing works well, but let's see if we can make it smaller and kind of put it, we're going to call it a belt loop battery charger. And we worked, took us a couple of years to make this magnesium air fuel cell actually charge batteries. And the way it works is a special formulation, it's a magnesium alloy, and our proprietary cathode works together to make magnesium hydroxide. When you put salt and water in it, it actually takes the OH out of the water, makes magnesium hydroxide, which is milk of magnesium. And in the process, there's a ton of free electrons released, and our cathode material scoops that up, puts it on the bus bars, and we have a really good battery charger.
Amazed. I mean, I was blown away by this, by the product that you have. I mean, and folks, the reason we're doing this right now is because I think Mr. Riggs is, I think this product is essential for your preps. You know, this is, I don't know why I'm so amazed by this, except that it works. It charges batteries. It charges, I mean, you know, it's an amazing device, but oh, continue. I didn't mean to interrupt. Like you really don't need me to say, yeah, it works.
I appreciate the comments. I started out with a unit that had an anode on the inside, and it would charge about 100 batteries. And I took it to gun shows and prepper shows, and people said, hey, we need more. So I made one that charged about 200 batteries. And folks said, well, yeah, that's nice, but, you know, 200 batteries, and I what, throw it away? So we worked on it another year or so, and we were able to replace the anodes, and that's the one that you have the picture of, those power pucks in the back. Each yep. contain a magnesium anode. And you put in a pair of those, and they'll charge about 130 batteries. And then when you can see black plastic where the magnesium used to be, you either recycle them or discard them, put in another pair, and it's another 130 batteries. And the charger itself will charge an unlimited number of batteries by just replacing the power pucks. So this can go on the shelf, and it lasts indefinitely, and you can use it and clean it up and put it back on the shelf, and it lasts indefinitely.
You know,
replacing the anodes.
It's an amazing, and so you've got, yeah, I mean, this is an amazing product. It doesn't need sun, doesn't need wind, obviously. And
no, it doesn't.
Wow. You don't need a hand crank?
It makes all you power need is anytime, and anywhere, in any weather, day or night.
You know, this is kind of one of those things that I wish I would have thought of this, or got, you know, got a piece of the action here, because it's and folks, what we're talking about is a Super G-Mag battery recharger with replaceable magnesium power pucks. That's the product, and it's going to charge six, what is it, 1,000 milliamp hour AA or AAA rechargeable batteries in about 3 hours?
Yes, sir, about 3 hours.
Yeah, it's... And I'm pretty sure the set of batteries I had, I found rechargeable batteries that were, I don't know, pretty old. I mean, Steve Coyle gave them to me like 10 years ago. And I charged them right up. It was just a couple of hours, and they're still working right now. So it's an amazing device.
Well, we started putting together accessory packages. I used to go to prepper shows, and people would say, well, what else can it do? And I started thinking about what folks may need when the lights go out or the disaster happens or they're going to grab their bug-out bag and go someplace. So we put a USB block in there, 5-volt USB block, so you can charge things like a smartphone, and it comes with adapters. It does iPhones. It does Droids and range finders and night vision goggles and Kindles, a whole bunch of things that will charge the USB connectors. And
yeah,
people like that.
And it's so you've got, and I want to thank you for including the cord in there. I mean, it's really fantastic. And it comes with a cord, right? To charge the cell phones and smart. Yep. Okay. I didn't know if you were giving me extra special treatment there or whatever, but no. And I can see it right there. Folks, you can take a look. If you're watching this on YouTube, take a look. The Greenovative screen up there, power where there is no power, and of course you can see the products, or you can see the product with the items that come with the in the box. You know, Alan, I mean, people need to understand that time is short, and we're looking for solutions. This is all about giving people a solution when there's no power. You know, I mean, that's what it's about. And if you have access to table salt, 2 teaspoons, and a little water, you can charge up your electronics.
Well, I would like to say the following delicately. If you don't have salt and you're out or you're hurt and you have to get the word out, you can go behind the bushes and fill it up, and it will make power just fine. So if you're alive, you have power.
You know, I read that, and I really considered trying that. As gross as that might sound, I was thinking, you know, I wonder if this is true. That's the only thing I haven't tried on this product is peeing in the jar, you know.
You will be pleasantly surprised.
Well, it works with the salt water. So okay. conditions, I mean, the footprint of this product is extremely small. So you've got, it's not going to take that much up in your bug out bag.
No, and it's only 8 ounces as well. It's very lightweight.
All right. What are we looking at?
Go ahead.
What are we looking at in terms of cost to our listeners here?
I have a special price tonight for your listeners. But this, what's on the page right now is my Super G Mag with the Super Works and 2,000 milliamp hour AA batteries. And just to be, not everybody understands what milliamp hours mean, so I'm going to just give you a graphic example of that. It's a measure of current, of power in the battery. So let's say a 1,000 milliamp hour battery would be, say, let's call it a pint of power. So a 2,000 milliamp hour battery would be a quart of power, twice as much. And all of the measurements that we've done in the lab and all the things that we stand by are based on the 1,000 milliamp hour batteries. So if I tell you it takes 3 hours to charge a 1,000 milliamp hour battery, if you look on your battery and it's 1,500 milliamp hours, then it'll take 1.5 times longer than that to charge the battery. So it's pretty easy to figure that out. And this normally sells for $125 online plus shipping. And I have a 15% off plus free shipping for your listeners. And if they just put in the discount code, lowercase Hagman, they will get the discount and free shipping.
All right.
And it also
give out the website. Alan, give out the website. Go ahead. Go ahead.
It's greenovative.com. GreenIvative.com. Just go to the store, and when it asks you for the discount code, put it in.
That's a good deal, folks. Go ahead.
It also comes with 4 AAA batteries and 2 sets of power pucks. So you're good to go for a long time. And if you take it home and put it on the shelf and don't use it, and you don't have to use it, you can give it to your great-great-grandchildren.
That was the other issue I was thinking about. Does it have, there's no expiration on the power pucks, the magnesium power pucks, right? They last. I mean, it's going to outlast your lifetime and that of your children, perhaps, right?
On the shelf, yes.
Yeah.
In use at about 130 batteries, and you swap it out for the next set of power pucks. But when you're done, when you say you charge 6 batteries, you pour out what's in there, and it's milk of magnesia. I mean, it's environmentally benign. You rinse it out, take out the pucks and rinse them off, let it dry out, put the whole thing on the shelf again, and it stops right there. It doesn't deteriorate at all after it's dry and back on the shelf.
It's fantastic. It really is. It, folks, it's a great product. Go to greenevative.com or just go to HagmanReport.com and click on the link there. You'll see it, Greenevative. It'll take you directly to the website there. And Greenevative, it's a small company in Florida, folks. They created this gentleman on the phone created this device. It's the G-Mag Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water. Just simply all you have to do is add salt water to what you get. And, it's you don't need sun, you don't need wind, you don't need a hand crank, which frankly is just really tiring. All you need is a little ordinary table salt, a little water, shake for a few seconds, bang, the unit instantly makes electricity. It uses magnesium as the power source. Just adding the salt water makes power instantly available. It's affordable, it's lightweight, 8 ounces, as you said, durable, EMP proof. That's the other thing too, EMP proof, huh?
It is. There is no active electronics in there, no combinational logic. The fuel cell sees the load, charges the load, and when it's done, you pull out the batteries and you're good to go.
Wow. All right. And if you're out of water, you can pee in a jar.
You can.
You know, it's and no moving parts, actually. This is a great idea. I mean, this is fabulous. And see, again, we bring solutions. The purpose of this right now is just to bring our audience solutions as the hour is short, or the hour is late and time is short. This is a great, great device. We found it. And we talk about only the best on this program. And by far, Alan, I think this is the best. I really... Now, you won't say that. Maybe you will. I had to kind of, you know, wrestle them to get them to say this is the greatest. You know? And I really think it is. But, man, this is fabulous. So, okay. All right. And if people have questions, they can contact you via the website, right? Your website?
Yes, they can. Mm-hmm.
All right. Perfect. Well, brother, I really appreciate you allowing us to feature this product on our broadcast. Any closing remarks in the next 30 seconds or so?
It was my pleasure. It's been a joy putting this product together. It was exciting every day that we worked on it. Our patent was approved about 2 months ago. It helps people. If you need power, or you need your walkie-talkies to work, that sort of thing, it doesn't weigh much. Makes power anytime, anywhere, in any weather. Need power, just add water.
Fantastic. My friend, thank you so very much for coming on. We're going to be talking about this product throughout the broadcast and in days ahead. God bless you, Alan. Thank you so much, brother. Appreciate it.
And you too as well. Thank you.
All right. Folks, that was Alan Riggs, the man behind the GMAG battery recharger. I asked him to come on. I said, man, we found a solution to your charging battery needs, ladies and gentlemen. We can't keep this to ourselves. All right. Now, on the other side of the break, we're going to be talking about some other issues, especially the community organizing that is behind the riots, the FBI files on Clinton. Okay, thank you. I was getting to, yeah, we're going to be right back. Stay right where you're at. Websites, HagmanReport.com, HagmanandHagman.com. Those are our websites. Social networking, of course, at HagmanReport, and also at HagmanPI. That's for Twitter. The latter, of course, is my personal Twitter. And Facebook as well. Like us on Facebook. Mine is Doug Hagman, and HagmanReport is our show Facebook. Did you see that photograph, that photograph of Hillary Diane Rodham Clinton at the debate where she's bent over, and she, there's something that appears to be underneath her coat. Did you see that? I mean, it almost looks like one of those power chargers from a laptop, you know, with a transformer box, the rectangular box and a cord that goes up the back. I mean, there's obviously something there. If this was not Photoshopped, I don't know its origins. And I have to believe, I looked at the footage, and I have to believe that this was not Photoshopped. I have to believe that there was something there. You could see it pretty well. There's something not right with this, and this brazenness by the media. And, you know, hey, it's, everything's just fine. I don't know. Except to say that there's something not right with this. And it's our duty, it's our obligation to question all of this. And I don't care if Trump had this. If it was Trump that had this and it was visible, I would ask the same questions. I would ask the same questions of any candidate. Because I want to know the truth. And it's an important issue. It's a big issue, I believe. I want to follow up on something I said earlier. I had mentioned that Michael Savage, when he was talking about the Hillary Clinton's health, he was unceremoniously cut off the air. Did you hear about that? Were you listening perhaps at the time? What's going on here? Well, I submit to each and every one of you that we're seeing the end game here. At least in this quarter, if this was a football game, it would be one of the quarters in the second half, I believe, the third or fourth quarter. What we're seeing, I believe, is this this run for the end zone or a Hail Mary pass, whatever analogy you want to use, by the globalists, because they know that they are on the ropes. And regardless of who you thought won the debate, it doesn't matter. Because what I found is the globalists are going to push their own. I mean, Trump could have been the clear winner of the debate. In fact, Hillary could have fell down and you know, passed out 5 minutes into the debate. And I believe that the media would have said she still won. The lies have become brazen. The lawlessness has become in the open. And of course, that's what we're faced with. But, you know, part of that, those lies and part of that lawlessness involves controlling the operational narrative. For as much as I really don't care for that word, that's what it's all about. Controlling what people see, what people talk about, what people are exposed to, what people can talk about. And this is the issue with Michael Savage. He was taken off the air. And he, off of numerous stations. Now, some may look at this as a marketing, a result of marketing, or a result of a network change. The timing, however, certainly smacks of something else going on, as well as his numbers. You see, I mean, to be replaced on a nationally syndicated network, to be replaced by programming that does not come close, should raise questions. So we're seeing the process of censorship take place in real time, and I'm wondering how many of us really thought that we'd see this happen this soon. And you know, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, man, you know, others as well are having problems that I know and you know. We struggle at times with certain venues. Global Star is powerful. They're gold. It's great. YouTube, on the other hand, you've got the Heroes program, and if you don't know what that is, you can look it up on YouTube. And they say, well, you know, it's kind of a, they're beta testing this, and it's really not, it's not really meant for censorship. But what is taking place is you're getting people, and folks, don't spare your emails, because I do understand how this works. This is to flag inappropriate content, in addition to other things, to put captioning and to put boxes in the videos. But the points that a hero participant in this program would receive largely comes from the points, by the way, dictate the individual's level on the Heroes program. Of course, the more points you have, the more perks you are supposed to get, and that's how it works. But by flagging inappropriate videos, whether it's, and they'll come out and say, well, anything involving you know, pornography or animal abuse, those are two big things that they're talking about. They're saying that this is what it's for, the inappropriate content. But what we've found is you've got individuals who are signing up for this program who want to harass others. Now, this is denied. This is denied by YouTube, by the spokespeople, and even some independent spokespeople for this program. However, we found that, yes, people, if someone has a problem with your content, let's say you've got this really anti-Hagman report, for example. Somebody really doesn't like us. And just insert your name where Hagman Report is. You can get harassed in ways that you've never been harassed before through this program. What they'll do is they'll say that the content, for example, if you talk about homosexuality and you say homosexuality is a sin, if that's what you're saying, and homosexual marriage is not the law of the land because it's not constitutional and it's against God's law, therefore it's not the law of the land. They will flag that. I'll just say it that way, could flag that. So somebody watching your channel could flag that as inappropriate, and automatically that shuts you down, or that shuts that video down. It takes away any monetization. What is left of it after they got done gutting the whole program. And prevents you from, prevents you from getting the message out. So this is censorship by legalese or by legal means. It's lawfare to some degree. Now, I'm not complaining because I don't want this to appear as a complaint, but I want people to understand the tools that are being made available to others of like minds in order to shut down the truth. This is a big tool. So they'll flag your video for inappropriate content, and the only recourse you have is to say, wait a minute, this is not right, the flagging is not right. So then you appeal that to the YouTube people, and then there's a human being that has got to be on the other side to take a look at the content and decide whether that video or that audio with video with image overlays or with video, to decide if that does represent a violation of the terms and conditions of the YouTube contract. It's kind of a dig at the creative aspects of the creators, the YouTube creators. Well, that process sometimes takes a while, and the more times that your videos get flagged, of course, it's kind of like having a rap sheet, except the charges are arbitrary. So the more times this happens, of course, the more times greater the chance that you're not going to have a channel to broadcast from. So we are looking at other alternative video channels. Eric the Tech is hard at work on that because, folks, it's inevitable that the normal channels are going to be shut down because of content. If Hofstra University if they see fit to put up a trigger warning sign warning people about the debate, if you saw that, we talked about that yesterday, and furnish counselors in the event that, oh, your sensibilities are overrun because someone mentions homosexuality or sexual abuse or just whatever the content might be. And I've seen bloggers do this as well, especially against Christians, say, wait a minute, you shouldn't be talking like that. It's offensive. Wow. Well, it's just a matter of time is what I'm getting at. So you look at this, look at the big picture here. The violations that you could run up on YouTube. And this is going to extend to other venues as well. It's only a matter of time. What do we expect when we welcome the harbinger of Baal in New York City? Of course, the harbinger of Baal is now firmly rooted in New York City. Remember, we had Jonathan Cahn on a little while ago, a few episodes ago, to talk about the mystery of the Shemitah and, of course, the harbinger and, of course, the Shemitah imperative. Well, the harbinger, in his case, that he talked about is the one that appears in New York City, and it's the harbinger of Baal. Now, he wrote that in the last days of Israel, warnings, prophetic signs, and harbingers appeared in the land, foreshadowing the judgment that was to come. The nation ignored these harbingers and headed to destruction, of course. In his discussion, the harbinger is a mystery revealed to those same harbingers and warnings of national judgment. They've now appeared on American soil, but in the ancient case, in Israel's case, Israel ignored the warnings and plunged even deeper into apostasy, into immorality, folks, ungodliness, brazen defiance of God. We see this happening in America today, and America is following the same template of judgment, the same course and the same progression. And if you get a chance to listen, folks, go back and to listen to Jonathan Cahn. Baal was Israel's anti-God. their substitute for God, the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of their apostasy and the God of their destruction. Baal was the devil god. It was their devil god, and it's our devil god in America. In fact, the name for Satan, Beelzebub, I always have a hard time saying that latter one, is derived from Baal, meaning Baal of the flies and Baal of the dung. That's right. Well, how does this affect us? What about America? Jonathan Cahn talks about, he says, if America is following in the footsteps of ancient Israel, away from God and to judgment, which I think is happening, and I think we can all agree this is taking place, could there be a link to Baal? Well, of course, no one in America would admit to worshiping Baal. No one really admits to that. But the truth is American culture is filled with other gods, small g, and idols, of course. When a civilization turns away from God, as we have in mass in this country, it always ends up bringing in other gods in his place. You can't have a spiritual vacuum. And you know, you'll notice too, many people will say, especially on the left, the progressive Democratic National Socialist will say that, I'm an atheist. Well, more times than not, there is no spiritual vacuum there. Those people are worshiping either Satan or worshiping other small g gods. Now, America, of course, we've talked about this before. Jonathan Cahn was on talking about this, and having spent some time with Jonathan Cahn, I've grown to admire him, of course, and to really gain insight into his books and into his message. And it's interesting because he's fighting off criticism where, well, hey, nothing happened. You know, the blood moons, everything. Oh, nothing happened. Well, yeah, it did. We're living it right now. Our leadership has driven God out of our lives culturally and spiritually. We've waged war against the God of the Bible. Now, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a minister. I'm just an investigator, but I can see what's taking place here. And I can see the havoc being caused in our civilization. You know, I don't think I'd want to be a preacher or a minister. I just don't. Especially of like a congregation. I don't think I can handle that. Seeing how Christians interact with other Christians. Some Christians, not everyone. It would just drive me crazy because it's ridiculous. The accusations and the us versus them mentality within the body of the church. I mean, I don't know what to say. And we see that too in a smaller scale with our, sometimes with our, with the guests that come on, and some people, well, I don't like him because I don't think he preaches. I don't think he stands for what, you know, Christianity really is. Oh, I get emails. You should see the emails I get. And Steve and I will talk too about the various emails that we get and the complaints that we see and the writings of certain bloggers out there. We just scratch our heads wondering what, you know, why? And in the end, it's either a human attribute we believe that causes this. It's that envious attribute. I don't know what they'd be envious about. Or it's downright demonic, if you will. But in getting back to the culture here in America, we've ripped God out of schools, you know that, and out of our lives, out of our daily lives. We're sacrificing millions upon millions of unborn children. We're calling evil good and good evil. We're celebrating sexual immorality. We're celebrating, we're persecuting the righteous. And we're seeing censorship just go across the land. We're seeing all sorts of lawlessness take root in this country. In that, I believe, and as Jonathan Cahn had stated, arises from this Baal worship, arises from this spiritual bankruptcy, arises from this worshiping of gods, the small g. This past Monday afternoon, September 19th, in the city of the Harbingers of Judgment, New York City. Well, one of the centers of Baal worship was erected. Of course, we talked about this last week. The city contained no one but, not one but two prominent temples to Baal. The Romans erected an arch there that led to the temple of Baal. So the worshipers of Baal would walk through this arch and approach the temple in which they would venerate their god, small g. This arch that led to the temple of Baal was reproduced down to the smallest, tiniest detail and erected in New York City. This is what we have. Now, whose idea was this? Well, if you look close, you'll see that this is connected to the United Nations. And of course, what's up with the United Nations? It's that globalist push, and that's what's behind that. So, what are we to expect when we are in that worshiping Baal mentality? And we're seeing this happen. It's all about worshiping Baal. It's about worshiping the small gods. And again, I want to remind people, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a minister. I'm just an ordinary guy who sees the problems and can trace the problems back to spiritual issues as opposed to political or even just any other issue. I want to touch on this, what has been pushed by the wayside in addition to, what's been pushed by the wayside by the debates and by the political theater we're seeing is the Clinton FBI files with respect to her emails. You know, I found it very interesting that it was only at the periphery this was brought up yesterday. I mean, just the smallest sentence. But folks, there was a 189-page summary that was released on Friday, the Friday document dump. The report was about the Clinton's private server and the emails. And I want to bring this back to the forefront here, because what we're seeing is this censorship of the truth by way of dumping this on a Friday and then tossing a bunch of other red herrings on top of this. But this report, which was made public last week, came on the heels of the House Republicans' revelation that three additional witnesses had received immunity. So up to five people who received immunity in the FBI investigation. Now, why is that important? Five people. If you've ever been involved in the criminal justice system and in the criminal trial, you don't get immunity, folks, or you don't dish out. If you're a law enforcement agency or the district attorney or the attorney general, you don't give immunity to people who have done nothing wrong. You may, on occasion, give immunity to individuals who might, by virtue of, might perhaps admit to something of an illegality, but you give immunity to people who have knowingly done something wrong in exchange for information to prosecute another. It's not, hey, you know what, you did something wrong, so we're just going to call it even. No, you've got to give something in exchange for that. And that is exactly what did not happen with immunity. Paul Cometa, the server at Platte River Networks, allegedly took the Fifth Amendment, and now this is my own personal opinion, so you know I'm dodging a potential I want to insulate myself from any type of lawsuit here. It's interesting because he pled the Fifth during recent hearings despite his immunity. So the question I have is, what kind of immunity did he have? Did he have blanket immunity? If so, why would he be pleading the Fifth? Or did he have limited use immunity? And that's just to cover a small pie-shaped period of time and period of offenses. Well, when you get up to five people in a case that have been granted immunity, to me it almost doesn't matter. It's almost kind of like an after effect. It doesn't matter. What difference does it make, Hillary Clinton, you know? Because when you've got five, you've got lawlessness and criminality and a criminal conduct all over the place. I talked yesterday about the FOIA process being messed with, and, yeah, that's true. But Clinton deleted nearly 1,000 emails with Petraeus. In August of 2015, the Pentagon called the State Department and informed them that CENTCOM records showed approximately 1,000 emails, work-related emails now, between Clinton on Clinton's personal server and General David Petraeus. The FBI noted that most of the 1,000 emails were not believed to be included in the 30,000 emails that Clinton turned over to the State Department in December 2014. So this is in addition to the 30,000. This is another 1,000. The crime is bigger than we've all been led to believe. And I suppose when you look at it, you can see the enormity of this. Yesterday, a name came up during the debate, Sidney Blumenthal. Clinton has often defended her relationship with Blumenthal. This guy has insinuated himself into the political process. He's written these detailed manifestos, missives about national security and other issues. Well, in fact, some of those have been classified. Just been recently classified, partially classified, as unsolicited memos from an old friend, but nonetheless, it's clearly been classified. Jake Sullivan, Clinton's former deputy chief of staff, told the FBI that he spoke to Blumenthal directly during his tenure, and Sullivan said that he spoke to by phone with Blumenthal and emailed him occasionally, even acting as a go-between between Blumenthal and Clinton and other high-level officials. So, Blumenthal, contrary to the statements made under oath and in public by Hillary Clinton, was a big part of this, despite what Hillary Clinton said. And the State Department officials definitely, by the way, knew about the private server. And again, you might say, what difference does this make? The investigation is over. Comey walked away. No, it's not. It's not over. Trust me, it's not over. But you've got numerous high-level State Department officials. You've got the president. You got Obama, more accurately. You've got the Gang of Eight in Washington inside the Beltway. They all knew about Clinton's private server, contrary to what they've said. They all knew about it. Three people had email addresses on the Clinton.com email network. Besides Clinton, the only other person to have, only other individual known to have used an email address on ClintonEmail.com was Huma Abedin. But we found additional people, including Cheryl Mills, despite Clinton swearing under oath that Cheryl Mills did not have an email address at that server. I spoke with John Robertson earlier today, and I want to just mention this before the top of the hour here, and a couple of Hollywood tricks used during the debate yesterday. Did you notice how the debate picture, when it was on Trump, he kind of got a little fuzzy at times? Yeah. You don't operate network camera equipment if it's not like here, or it's not like, you know, Bush League. That was deliberate, as well as the lighting on Hillary Clinton was deliberately enhanced. It affected pupil size and affected her appearance. The lighting in the Hollywood lighting, Hollywood trick effects as well. Just another task, another issue, another Hollywood gaming effect. You might say, hey, it's no really big deal. But yeah, I think it is. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman Report. We're going to be right back with Susan Daniels coming right up.